Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Testing the Experts.
Hello, and welcome to Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent. I'm Tracy McDaniel, your host for the show. Today, we are with Charles Hall, and he is with the Hyperbaric Physicians of Georgia. First, I'd have an update from our home base, Confirmatrix Laboratory. Basically, this week has been, for me, a lot of networking. It's been a lot of fun to get out in the community, see what's going on in the Gwinnett area. Last night, we enjoyed a great evening as members of the Chairman's Club with Gwinnett County Chamber. If this is something that any of you are interested in, or if your business is looking into, I would highly recommend it. Go ahead and make that jump. It's become a very valuable asset to us. We've already seen the value in the level of membership, and the Chairman's Club last night was just, it was a great event, a lot of people in there. I mean, it was standing room only at some points, so the networking is very valuable. I would also want to extend, if you want to come as a guest for one of these events, you know, please contact us and we will take you and we will show you around. And they are very, very opening and warm. So also, the air inside our lab is full of construction dust. We are currently finishing construction on our state-of-the-art blood lab. So now, just to add to our repertoire, we have the urine drug screening. We also have our genetics company. Now we'll also be able to have the blood offerings. So we're excited about that. In conjunction with the blood lab, we are going to have a large conference room and a training room where we'll be able to bring in all of our staff, update them on different techniques, different methods that might be happening in the lab. So it's very important to us that we're able to expand in our Lawrenceville location and keep everything local within our area. We're currently running the new blood lab from our temporary location, but we can't wait to get into the new space. They're working hard, and we're pushing them to work even faster. So permitting's going well. Everything is looking good. But as the saying goes, here we grow again. It's definitely applicable at Confirmatrix. But I'll digress, and we'll get out of the Confirmatrix world. As I mentioned, we have Charles Hall with Hyperbaric Physicians of Georgia. Charles is a physician liaison, and I'd like to thank you for being here, Charles.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Great. I know that you've been out and about lately. And Charles also will be hosting his own show soon. So we're excited to have you as a member here. And we're a tight family. So welcome.
That's exciting to be a part of it, for sure.
Good. Good. I'm glad. But why don't you tell us a little bit about Hyperbaric Physicians of Georgia, and we can get into a little bit of your background and, you know, how you got involved with them.
Hyperbaric Physicians of Georgia is a Metro Atlanta physicians group that is specialized in the treatment of patients that have chronic wounds that aren't healing correctly. That encompasses, you know, really a broad spectrum of folks, a couple of large groups of patients that we can help dramatically are diabetics that have ulcers that threaten their limbs. Typically, it's the lower extremity, but not exclusively. In addition to them, we treat patients that have had previous radiation therapy, and now that they've completed their therapy and they're a cancer survivor, a number of those patients can later on down the road, typically about a year and a half or two, or sometimes even more than that, they can develop problems where they've gotten radiation in the past. And for some of those folks, most of them, you know, those wounds will or problems will heal themselves with a little bit of conservative management. But for a smaller group of those people, it's still numerically large. They'll have a chronic problem that really erodes their quality of life. For example, a patient with prostate cancer might get radiation therapy, and then a couple of years later they notice that they're starting to have some bleeding and pain from their bladder. Same from their rectum as well, and that includes women that have had pelvic cancer, that have had radiation. They're also susceptible to those problems. Folks with breast cancer can get radiation, and one of the problems they can have will be a a reconstruction surgery in that field doesn't want to heal correctly, or they'll have repeated difficult-to-cure infections in that site. Obviously, those patients, if they do manage to get to a hyperbaric medicine program, then their outcomes, more often than not, by far, are accelerated and optimized, you know, over what they would be if they didn't have access to hyperbaric medicine. So in addition to the people that need hyperbaric medicine, that's just a small group of what we see. I mean, about 15 or 20% of the patients that come to our practice actually end up receiving hyperbaric medicine. It's just kind of one of the big guns that our wound practice uses to help people get better. But anybody that has a wound, whether it's just a surgical wound that's not healing correctly, or patients that have venous stasis ulcers, for example, those are very, very problematic and nuisance in their own right, because they can take months or even years to heal. And you can imagine having a very large, you know, wound that's just open to the air, that encompasses, you know, a third or all of your leg from your knee to your ankle, for example. So it's very disruptive for these people. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy working with this group, once I learned what we did, to be able to bring this to people and really help change their lives when they were really in a bad place before they got here.
Absolutely. Now, you say you coming, you know, here and why you decided to do what you did. Now, tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you here.
Well, as it happens, years ago, it's been a while now, but years ago, I worked in intensive care in the hospital as an RN, and my focus was taking care of patients that had open heart surgery in particular, but a variety of vascular and thoracic surgeries, and I worked in a recovery room in a large heart hospital in Oklahoma City. But given the fact that I do have several years of, you know, clinical work in my background, it made, you know, learning the physiology and the kind of the biology, if you will, and the medical aspect of what we do easy for me to learn and incorporate and be able to engage with a provider in such a way that I can help them understand, hey, this is how we can impact your patient's outcome and get them to kind of understand and kind of discuss some of the literature, for example, that supports the use of hyperbaric medicine for our patients. That's kind of what made a nice fit, as it happens. I know Dr. David Schwegman, who is the medical director for our practice, known him for several years, and he was aware of my background and asked me if I could come be a part of the practice. I'm kind of glad he did.
And what I love about it is you were on the front lines. I mean, you were seeing all of this, and you were seeing these patients come in and, you know, not be able to be fully healed. And so, you know, I think that you found it as, you know, when he did find you, I'm sure, you know, you thought this is a perfect fit, because I know, I'm sure it was very frustrating for you to, you see these patients and there's just something missing. And then you're able to provide kind of that next step and that next education and find a good fit with what you're doing now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's funny, because when I was in Oklahoma City in the hospital there, they were putting in a hyperbaric chamber when I was working in intensive care. And you know, I was asking, well, what is it? You know, I'd never heard of it before. And they're like, well, they put these people in a chamber and they give them oxygen and they treat burns and wounds. And that's about as much as I knew about hyperbaric medicine. So when I actually, you know, began talking to Dr. Schwegman a little bit more about what they do here, and once I became educated about how it works and what it does and who we affect, it was very easy to get excited and passionate about it. It's the kind of thing that once you do get educated about how we can totally change somebody's outcome. Go take a person who's being told every day by a surgeon, you need to take this foot off. We need to amputate this. This is the appropriate treatment. To be able to take that patient from that position to have them walking out of our center on two healed feet it's very gratifying. And it makes it easy to want to knock on the door of a physician's office and say, hey, take a few minutes to talk to us to learn how we can help this group of patients for you and help improve your own outcomes by introducing them to this modality. And it's the same, you know, for the folks with radiation. I mean, imagine you go through the diagnosis of cancer, which obviously is very traumatic and emotionally difficult, and you go through the process of treatment, which is chemo and in many cases radiation, and those types of therapies are obviously very effective but challenging physically to get through. You go through all of that, you come out the other side, and you're now cancer free. Mm-hmm. but yet you can't enjoy your life because you're dealing with a persistent problem related to radiation therapy. And you know, when you have late effects of radiation, it doesn't mean that your radiation oncologist did something wrong. The reality of it is nowadays, they've got the ability to very accurately dose the radiation that they're going to give you. They have the ability to very accurately deliver it so that they are really minimizing the normal tissue that gets affected by the radiation. But you can't avoid treating some of the normal tissue in between where the radiation is being delivered from to where the tumor is. So there's something in there that's going to be affected in the middle. And to be able to, you know, have those patients get to us, they're all, I can't tell you how many times I've heard a patient say, how come it took me so long to get here? Right. Because once they do get to us and they start getting into their course of treatment, I mean, it truly is, for many of them, very shocking, the level of difference that it makes for them and their daily life. So, you know, that really made it, you know, easy to want to be here and talk to people about it. So it's one of the reasons why I appreciate the fact that you invited us out today.
That's great. Yeah, and one thing that I see with the cancer patients is that they go through the long haul, you know, they go through the chemo and the radiation, they come out and they say, you know, their friends and family, big support team, and they're like, okay, I'm cancer-free, but no one really understands the back end of it. Mm-hmm. So a year later, something happens, you know, 2 years later, something happens, and they're there and they might have, you know, the smaller support system, if anyone at all, because they, you know, everyone's gotten word, oh, this patient is cancer free now. Mm-hmm. So they don't understand, you know, what they're going through on the back end. And that's where you guys are able to step in and say, you know, we understand what you're going through and this is what we can offer you. Mm-hmm. So you're able to kind of fill that void because, you know, you hear the word cancer and radiation and everyone rallies around you, but there's long-term effects that people either they're not talking about. Or, you know, they feel like, oh, I'm not going to burden people again. You know, no one wants to hear about this issue now. And, you know, and I think other people turn internally like, what's wrong with me? You know, why can't I get healed? I go through all of this and then something else. And they just feel like they get beat down and beat down. And mm-hmm. The fact that you're able to provide them with something, and it's really another form of hope.
Absolutely.
You know, after they've gone through all that. And I just, you know, to be able to have that medicine and to have it available to people and the way that you deliver it as an option. I mean, that's important for people as well, because you are treating more than just, you know what you're doing. You do have this patient that's gone through a lot already.
That's right. Atlanta is unique in the sense that many of the major hospitals here have a hyperbaric medicine program. So we're comparatively dense on hyperbaric medicine programs. When you look around the country, there's about 650 hyperbaric medicine programs. You compare that against several thousand hospitals in the country. You know, when you look at you know, the challenges that we face from an awareness perspective, and that's really, you know, that's my everyday focus, is getting patients to understand, hey, there's a resource here for you. It's very difficult to get to them because mass media can be very expensive, obviously. And from, you know, the perspective of educating our medical community, you know, the problem that we face there is just a lack of information, basically, because there's 16 hyperbaric medicine training programs out there against about 100 and just under 160 medical programs. So about 85% of the doctors that come out that are excellent physicians in their field treating these patients with good reason have confidence in the background. They come from a great school. They you know, feel very confident in the education that they have and say treating oncology, for example. I come to their door and I say, you know, hey, Dr. Smith, I noticed that, you know, you're a gastroenterologist, and a large portion of the patients you treat are going to be folks that come to you who had prostate cancer therapy, and now they're having rectal bleeding and problems with their bowel changes. If you get them to us, we have a 90% success rate in healing that patient. I mean, I'm walking in telling them something that, why didn't I hear about this before when I was in my training? I mean, it's easy for them to dismiss what we're saying, just because they if they did get exposure to it, it's probably not much more than you had exposure to hyperbaric medicine before you came in here and sat down and talked to me. So overcoming skepticism and overcoming the feeling of not really wanting to feel like I don't know something that I should know, okay. You know, the fixing the lack of information is very easy. It's just having that conversation that's very difficult. So,
and you threw out 90%. I mean, that's
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, that.
And it's disappointing, to think that I could be a patient, then I'm across the hallway from a practice that has a 90% probability that I'm going to get better when I'm done, and I never even knew they were there.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's why I'm here talking to you.
Right. And on the alternative side of it, I know at ConfirmMatrix, we see a lot of physicians treating just with drugs, and they treat with drugs just to take away the pain. Mm-hmm. And so the beauty of this is that if you can heal the wounds, you're able to take away the pain medicine.
Yeah.
And, or at least decrease the pain medicine. And that's a mission for us, is we want to see these patients, decrease their pain medicine. And we want to be able to help not just, we do a small part of, the treatment, but we want to make sure that we're helping the whole patient.
I thought it was real exciting when you were describing the fact that you guys are coming out with the ability to be very specific to the patient that you're treating with medications that bear risks in the terms of pain meds, for example, that can cause a patient to, have some dependency on them if they have to use them over time, particularly if they're using a dose that may be higher than their body technically needs to achieve the goal. So to be able to bring a patient in and actually very specifically give them a dose that's going to get them the therapeutic effect with at the same time giving them a decreased risk of having problems down the road with dependency to that drug because they had to be on a course of medicine for a period of time. That's a really cool service that you're offering to the medical community who's having to deal with patients that need some pain medication, for example.
Right, so, and similar to how, just to treat the individual patient, because you guys get that all the time where you're going to get patients that are going through something different than the next patient you see, and you have to, gauge how you treat them. And that's important to us because we can look at the genetics and we can go through and we get done. There's no question really once you run this genetics test. So, that's the beauty of what we're doing, and that you're able to, say, all right, this is where we should be treating them and this is how we should be treating them. And with that being said, I think that, if you'll explain a little bit about the hyperbaric medicine and how you're treating patients more specifically.
Well, the practice of hyperbaric medicine, what they're doing is you are placed inside of a airtight chamber and you're delivered 100% pure oxygen that you're going to be breathing. A lot of people mistakenly assume that it's somehow you're absorbing the oxygen through your skin or through a wound, for example. But many of the wounds, if you think about it, like when we're dealing with radiation, many of those wounds are actually on the inside of your body. So the function of hyperbaric medicine is to take advantage of gas laws. And the gas laws basically say that if pressure goes up in the environment, whatever gas you're breathing, you're going to absorb ever higher quantities of that through the lungs. So in our case, we're giving you 100% pure oxygen. We're pressurizing the environment, which means that your body now is going to absorb far more. It'll do so just because you're getting pure oxygen anyway, but then we're going to pressurize that, which means now while you and I are sitting here, the red part of our blood, the red blood cells, those are carrying probably 99% of the oxygen that our body needs, where half to 1% will be carried in the clear part, the plasma part of the blood, the liquid part. When we go into the chamber, because we are giving you such a high dose of oxygen, then you're absorbing such massive quantities of oxygen into the bloodstream, even the liquid part, the clear part, now becomes very supersaturated with oxygen. So the disease processes that we're typically treating with hyperbaric medicine usually involve some element of hypoxia in an area, and most of the time, not always, but most of the time, there's at least some sort of vascular damage that has occurred, whether it's diabetes, the high blood glucose that's causing the damage to the vascular system, or in the case of a patient with cancer and they've had radiation, the radiation in itself can cause kind of a progressive inflammatory situation within the vascular system that in the end obliterates the tiny blood vessels there too. So while the mechanism is different, both of those situations have vascular damage that leads to hypoxia, which then makes the wound or an area in the body very weak when it comes to trying to heal itself from any kind of wounding, whether it's pressure from a shoe that doesn't fit very well on a diabetic to maybe even a bra strap in a previously radiated field that's pressing a little tight on the skin that is hypoxic now, that actually causes a wound to open up and now it won't heal. So when we pressurize the chamber and you start absorbing that massive quantity of oxygen into the liquid, that liquid part of the blood can actually flow through kind of a partially obliterated blood vessel better than the red cells can. They have to actually line up single file and go through those teeny tiny little blood vessels called capillaries one at a time, back to back, you know, in single file. You can imagine, though, that the liquid part of the blood would flow through that kind of a torturous, disrupted blood vessel a little more easily. So we're able to push oxygen into areas that wouldn't otherwise get very much and really raise the level of O2 that's in there, which then supports metabolically those cells that are trying to lay down new tissue and heal either a surgical wound or a part of the body that's been compromised by some radiation injury, for example. So the mechanism basically is taking advantage of pressure that, you know, causes us to turn oxygen into a drug. Right now, it's just kind of supporting us metabolically. But when we push your levels of oxygen in the body up to that high, it starts doing things that it doesn't do otherwise. It affects the chemistry in the brain, for example, which is one of the elements that they believe helps contribute to being able to fix somebody that's had traumatic brain injury, for example. It affects the way that the inflammatory response of your body when you have either an infection or some kind of irritation, it actually impedes the inflammatory cascade, which can be important in some chronic wounds because they get into that inflammatory phase and just stay inflamed, and that in and of itself really impedes healing. So it's really intriguing how something so simple as oxygen can actually have such powerful pharmacologic effects, if you will. The challenge for us from the perspective of evidence and studies is just that. Our drug is oxygen, and oxygen isn't really worth a whole lot of money. So we don't have some giant company out there giving us millions of dollars to fund a study to see, you know, will hyperbaric medicine actually have an impact on autism, for example. That's kind of how it does what it does, and it's often misunderstood, but it's fun to actually help people understand a little bit better about what it's doing, take the mystery away.
Absolutely. Well, and for me, it seems like, so it's simply oxygen can treats the entire body. It's not a specific, but it goes to a specific site to treat it better.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like you can think of it almost in a way as vitamin supplements, if you will. You'll use all of what you need, and the rest of it will, you know, really, you know, kind of be passed on, if you will. So if you have an area of the body, a diabetic would be a great example of this kind of situation you just talked about, where I come to the wound care center with a diabetic ulcer on my foot, and I've got a bone infection there under that wound, and it's very difficult to treat. It's not getting better. So they get in the hyperbaric medicine chamber, and we start treating the wound that we have. Well, basically, in those types of disease states, it's very unlikely that my left foot alone is affected by my diabetes. My right side is typically a mirror image of my left. Mm-hmm. So even though the patient comes to us with a wound on their left, there's very likely vascular damage that's also affecting their right, which is essentially a wound just waiting to happen. So one of the physiologic responses to getting in the hyperbaric medicine chamber for a period of time is that the body actually begins to build new blood vessels, tiny blood vessels called capillaries, where those are the little bitty ones that live at the tissue. You can't see them with the naked eye. And so when you get in the chamber and you've been treating for a number of exposures, you actually begin to develop new capillaries into those areas of the body that are hypoxic and have a less amount of capillary density there than they should have. So I'm treating the patient for his left foot wound, and I'm actually giving them some protective value for their right foot, because even though the right foot doesn't have a wound yet, maybe there's some areas that are hypoxic comparative to what they would have otherwise. So we're building capillaries on that side too that are going to help protect them potentially from developing an ulcer down the road.
Right. And so I visualize you have, okay, so you have the problem with the left, and they don't, you know, seek this type of treatment. Potentially they end up surgery, losing the limb or the foot or whatever the case might be. And all in the meantime, while they're going through that with their left, they end up looking to the right, and here we go again. Mm-hmm. And we're having to, you know, go through it another time.
That's right.
So you guys are able to come in and not only treat the left, but you're preventing in the right as well.
In many cases, that's true. Yes. Wow.
And they don't even know. They're so focused on one side. You know, they think this is the immediate problem.
We focus on what we can see.
Yeah.
You know, and the left foot is what brought us in. But we had some potential for that same kind of problem elsewhere, and we're fixing that right along with it. It's kind of like mowing the grass. We get the weeds and the grass.
So. Absolutely. Well, so when they're going through this type of therapy, how long does it normally take? I'm sure every patient varies.
It's time-consuming to undergo hyperbaric medicine therapy. I mean, there's no way around that. I wish I could make it to happen a lot more quickly, but, for example, because one of the big things that we're doing for the body with hyperbaric medicine is developing blood vessels, they can only grow so fast. Mm-hmm. So typically for just about everyone we see, not everybody, but almost everybody that we see with hyperbaric medicine, they're going to go almost always a minimum of 20 times. Why? It is because it takes 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks before your body gets to kind of the maximum level of capillary density that's going to rebuild from our therapy. So if we take that radiation patient, for example, it's somewhere between weeks 3 and 4 of 5 days a week treatment that their body has begun to get about as much capillary rebuilding as it's going to have. After that, we are supporting their body, you know, metabolically, basically, because anytime you have a wound that your body's trying to heal, whether it's falling down, scraping your knee, or going to surgery and the physician doing a surgical incision, either one of those is a wound. And both of those situations require extra energy to heal over just maintaining itself. So the metabolic demands that are created by some sort of wound significantly increase the need of that particular area. So that's why we go on past 20. For a patient with a diabetic ulcer, typically somewhere between 25 and 40 exposures that they'll have to have. Sometimes if they have a significant bony infection, they might end up going a few more times than 40, but that's rare. With radiation patients, typically the course that I've seen ranges anywhere, depending on their clinical response, again, because we've talked about that, it's individual to each patient. But if you look at the overall averages and knowing what we know about how long it can take to repair those tissues, it typically takes the radiation patient somewhere between 30 and maybe as many as 60 treatments, but typically it's somewhere between 30 and 40 treatments. So you're looking at typically for most patients somewhere between a month and 2 months, occasionally 2.5 months worth of treatment. So it's a lot like going under radiation therapy again, or chemo, for example. So, you know, for those patients that have the late effect problem and they're like, oh man, I don't want to go through all that time again, it's truly one of those things where, you know, if your quality of life is disrupted, then that's time obviously well invested. So it can really...
especially when you're able to offer the 90% success rate. I'm doing it. You know,
well, that's just it. The challenge that we face is most of the patients that are dealing with those problems don't even get to know that we're here. So, you know, that's why we're trying to get the word out as hard as we are.
Absolutely. And the successes, you know, will speak for themselves as well. And I just want to remind everyone that you're listening to Testing the Experts presented by ConfirmMatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent. I'm here with Charles Hall, and he's filling us in about all the great things that they have to offer at the Hyperbaric Physicians of Georgia. And I'm very impressed with everything, and it seems so simple, oxygen, you know, and what you're able to do there. And, you know, the success rates, you know, are phenomenal. And I feel like, you know, if patients can just hear this and they know that it's out there for them, you know, and I know all of them will ask the questions. And one of the questions that we'll get into on the business side of it, you know, the insurance fund of it. And does insurance cover this type of treatment?
It does. Basically, the indications that our practice will treat are all what you would call approved indications, which means the Undersea and Hyperbaric Medicine Society, the UHMS, is kind of like our joint commission of hospitals, if you will. It's the organization that comes to practices like ours, legitimate practices like ours, evaluates our record keeping, it evaluates our process improvement processes, how do we do what we do, how do we document what we do, all those types of things, and the level of education, for example, of the professionals that are in our practice. UHMS, one of their functions in addition to accrediting programs is they have a governing body of physicians, both academic and clinical, that meet annually to review bodies of evidence on variety of indications, because, you know, just like any kind of medical modality or drug, we're always evaluating, well, would it help this type of problem? Would it help that type of problem? We think it will, so we're going to do a study. And so what will happen is each year presenters will produce their publication, and it will be brought before the committee that will then either poke holes in it. This is why we don't believe that it really supports using hyperbaric medicine to treat this, versus the other side that will discuss all the pros of that study, you know, and how much does it support using hyperbaric medicine. They're very serious about making sure that what we do is legitimate, that it respects the fact that we are trying to guard against excessive healthcare dollars being spent. The patient has time and treasure invested in treating with us, in the sense that it is time consuming. It takes an hour and a half to 2 hours to get your treatment done, 5 days a week. So it's a lot of time to invest. So if I'm treating you longer than I should, or if I'm treating you for something just because you want to get it fixed, you know, say, autism being a great example, a lot of people have gone online, how can I help my autistic child? Can I go to hyperbaric medicine? There is some thought that it can help those people. But there's not a lot of good evidence yet that supports that. And yet you'll go and spend a whole lot of time and a whole lot of money hoping that it will fix you. So what the UHMS does with practices like ours is it says, hey, we've approved this indication. That means that when we go out and visit with the community about what we're doing, we know that there's some very good scientific data that's been supported by a well-constructed study to show that, yes, the time and money that someone would spend, or whether it be insurance, for example, paying for it, or Medicare paying for it, that it's been well supported by evidence. So to answer the question about payers, the answer is yes. For what we treat, Medicare, Medicaid, commercial insurance, with few exceptions, will pay for the lion's share of what a patient's going to be referred to our practice to be, you know, evaluated for. So, you know, the challenge comes in for a patient who's going for elective procedures. Say a lady goes to get an aesthetic procedure of some kind with a plastic surgeon, and as sometimes happens, that, you know, maybe they develop an infection in the wound, and now they're having problems. They had to pay out of pocket for the procedure to get that done, because insurance won't pay for you to get your lips augmented, for example. So, you know, with that type of elective procedure, when the patient now develops problems, even though, say, they have a compromised flap that was caused by this elective procedure, now when they come to us with a true approved indication that we would treat, you know, readily and get paid for by insurance, because it was an elective procedure, now insurance won't pay for me to fix you. Right. And that's out of pocket, which can be kind of expensive. So typically what we're seeing are patients that are referred for non-elective medical procedures or non-elective medical problems. And in those cases, the cost out of pocket is really going to depend very exclusively on what your co-insurance, your co-pay, your deductible situation is.
And I know that hopefully as insurance companies become more educated on the back-end results and, you know, the preventative side of what you do, you know, because what we talked about earlier, I think that they'll find even more value. And so the out-of-network insurances will then become in-network insurances, and that's very valuable for patients.
Mm-hmm. And, we you know, when it relates to our approved indications, we really don't have a whole lot of difficulty. And, in fact, some of the insurance companies out there will treat some things that we don't normally see in our practice, you know, and they'll pay for it for their patients. So the insurance companies are actually relatively well-versed about what we do, and particularly as it relates to the core of what we're going to treat, almost all of them approve it with little difficulty.
And that's a great sign. That says, I mean, you're on the right track. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's red flags going up everywhere, that's when, you know, you have to worry. But when it's being accepted and it's being paid for, I mean, that's great for patients. And there's one less thing for them to have to worry about as well when they're seeking the treatment.
I think that's one of the big things. I think from the approval perspective, you know, the insurance companies, you know, understand that it works for this type of indication, so they're going to pay for it. I think the caveat comes in is is the practice that's providing the hyperbaric medicine, are they conscientious about how much they're delivering to the patient, meaning number of treatments? So if my insurance company approves me for 40 treatments, for example, with a hyperbaric medicine practice, and I start my treatment, the insurance company and the patient is relying on us to say, hey, we were approved for 40, but we're here at 32 treatments, and you're healed, so we're done. We don't have to do anymore. Our practice does that. Mm-hmm. We respect the fact that our patients and you just, you know, they're investing their time and money, and just like that, our healthcare costs in general being spent are important to be conserved. So our practice is conservative in its approach to hyperbaric medicine, wanting to make sure that when you do come to us and you're receiving this therapy, we're not going to give you one more day than you need.
Right. And that says a lot about your reputation as, you know, a facility there and what you're willing to stand behind.
Well, if you're legitimate and you really want to have credibility, that's how you're going to do it.
And that's going to help advance what you're doing even further, you know, because you got to have the good guys in the fight. And so you were talking about funding and, you know, research and those type of things. And when you set those type of standards, that's going to say a lot for your field in general. Mm. So, you know, I have one more thing. If you want to be seen, let's go through how you can get that referral and then where your locations are.
Oh, sure. As it happens, our specialty is one that for many, many patients, they don't actually have to have a referral from a primary care or a specialist to get to us. That typically, the lion's share of the patients that come to our practice for hyperbaric medicine usually come through a physician of some kind saying, hey, I want you to go over and be evaluated by Hyperbaric Physicians of Georgia to see, you know, if they can help your problem. But the reality of it is that a patient who goes online, they've been having problems with rectal bleeding after their radiation therapy. They've got, you know, diarrhea they've had for 8 months and they're kind of tired of that. Many of those people, you know, begin to get frustrated with their situation and they start looking, just like the parent of an autistic child. What can I do for myself? What can I do for my loved one? Same thing can happen. So if a patient does get educated that, hey, this resource is here, many of those patients can walk in and say, hey, I'm dealing with this problem. You know, can I be treated? In the cases where the patient's insurance provider says, hey, you need a referral for that treatment, which we'll discover upon, you know, working with their insurance to get approval for their care. It's easy to do whenever we've got the patient here and we can call Dr. Jones and say, hey, Dr. Jones, I've got patient Smith here. They're needing to be evaluated by our physician. Their insurance company requires a referral. Would you please, you know, we'll send you the form. You can send it over. And we've yet to see that be a problem. So even if your insurance company requires a referral when you get to us, even if you walked in our door, we can help you get that.
Okay. And I know I did some research on the website, and would you share with everyone the website? And I found that the pictures on there speak volumes.
Yeah. Our website is kind of, you know, basically indicative of our name, Hyperbaric Physicians of Georgia. HBO is an abbreviation, not only for the movie channel, but for hyperbaric oxygen. So the website is HBOMD as in doctor, GA for Georgia, .com. So HBOMDGA.com. And there's an FAQ site there. We're beginning now to visit with patients who've undergone therapy with the treatment program for a variety of indications. So in addition to being able to read frequently asked questions, they'll be able to actually see some video of patients who've already gone through treatment and kind of hear a little bit about their story, probably find somebody over time who's already gone ahead of them and been treated and successfully by us for the same kind of problem that they're facing. There's forms on there that they can go. If they're getting ready to come to see us, they can go on and fill out the referral forms and treatment forms, information kind of stuff that you always have to do when you go through new physician visit,
right,
for example.
Get there 15 minutes early and fill these
you
out.
Can get information about all of our physicians, for example, before you come to see us. So it's a good site. You can see what the solo person chambers are out there too. And so like you say, there's some good photos to be seen.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. And I want to remind our listeners that we were visiting with Charles Hall, and he is with the Hyperbaric Physicians of Georgia. And HBOMDGA.com is the website, correct?
Mm-hmm. And on that site, you'll also find the addresses for our four locations. We're at the Kennestone Hospital campus in the attached medical office building. at Northside Forsyth in the attached 1505 building. We're downstairs in St. Joseph, even though we're not St. Joseph. We're just east of Hillendale Hospital on the same Hillendale Drive. And that chamber down there in Lithonia is actually one of the largest multi-place chambers in the Southeast. So it's kind of like sitting in this room to get your therapy. Mm-hmm. When you log on to the website, you'll actually be able to get contact information and address for each of those sites to find out what's convenient for you, either to where you live or where you work.
Absolutely, and it's nice to have that convenience. So, but thank you for joining us, and I'm glad that you could be here today. And just to wrap it up, you've been listening to Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory. Remember that our show airs live every Friday at 1 o'clock on Business Radio X. If you miss our live broadcast, you can listen to any of our shows anytime, 24/7, by visiting testingtheexperts.businessradiox.com. I'm Tracy McDaniel, and this has been Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent.